The Youth's Instructor, July 14, 1898. Be ye holy. The character of Christ is the standard which the Christian is to keep before him. His aim should be to possess those graces which were exemplified in the life of Christ in humanity. For only in the possession of these can he honor his Redeemer and render him the oblations of a pure heart. The life practice of the believing child of God should exalt the gospel of Christ. It should testify to the power of the Word upon the human life. Christ has said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And in his prayer to the Father for his followers, he said, "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Christ would have the youth surrender themselves to him with all that they possess. Our time, our character, our influence belong to God and should be given to do him service. Every hour of the day, we should realize that the Lord is near, that he sees all we do and hears every word we utter. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Says the psalmist, "There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." Often the word has come to the youth, "Be sober-minded." It is upon this point that they most often fail. They do not show themselves men and women of common sense. They do not realize the peril they are in when not connected with God. The Lord calls upon them to deal honestly with themselves, to deal honestly with God. There must be no mingling of the sacred and the common in our conversation. Cheap, earthly, unchristian words may be represented as strange fire, and with this God can have nothing to do. The loud, boisterous laugh is a denial of God in the soul, for it reveals that the truth is not ruling in the heart. All such professors have yet to be converted. They are stumbling blocks in the way which God has prepared at infinite cost. He would keep the path clear and plain, that no sinner may mistake it or err because of the stumbling blocks which unconverted professors place in the way by their unconsecrated, unholy lives. Let all lightness and trifling, all cheap conversation, be put away. By our vain words and unchristian example, we dishonor God and imperil not only our own souls, but also the souls of those with whom we associate. The example which Christ has given to the world forbids all levity and cheapness. And if the life is made fragrant by the grace of God, these elements will not appear. A genuine cheerfulness, an uplifting influence, will flow forth from all who love God and keep his commandments. And this carries with it a convincing, converting power. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling," says the apostle. Why with fear and trembling? Lest you shall in any way misrepresent your holy faith by lightness, by trifling, by jesting or joking, and thus give others the impression that the truth which you profess has no sanctifying influence upon the character. This is the kind of fear and trembling with which we are to work out our salvation. For, says the Apostle, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Those who are easily overcome by a spirit of lightness and frivolity make manifest what they have treasured up in the soul temple. To them the word comes, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, not in servility and uncertainty, but in a wholesome, godly fear. As Christians, we are to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Paul enjoins us to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. For this work, reasons strong and convincing are urged. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. When we consider what is our relation to Christ and what He is to us individually, our hearts will be softened and subdued. Beholding Him, praying to Him, we shall open our hearts to Him and become habitations of God through the Spirit. He will dwell in our hearts by faith. Then, turn whichever way we will, we shall behold His likeness. Our very thoughts will be brought into captivity to Jesus Christ. And as we contemplate Him who loved us and gave Himself for us, His prayer to the Father for us will be answered.